Welcome to the Full Court Press Podcast. I'm Ian Prinz here back with...
I am Ryan Robb, and welcome to the Full Court Press Podcast. And as you can see behind us...
We're doing something new today.
Doing something a little new. We got the TV up and operational, and we got some football behind us with probably the greatest franchise in the
NFL.
There's
no probably. It is the greatest franchise in the NFL. 13-time world champions. Has the most wins in NFL history. We have been around since 1919. It is the Green Bay Packers. And that's not an opinion, that's factual, because...
Hey, you want to hear something cool?
Yeah, what's up?
We got Micah Parsons.
We did get Micah Parsons. And as you're going to see in here, he was like a lion chasing a gazelle on Jared Goff this week. I'm going to say that again, because it was so true. And if you go to NFL Hate Memes _IG on Instagram, and I think it's the second or third, depending on when you watch this, second or third... Mm-hmm. Post because of the other games. The Bills game was on right after that, but if you look at it, it's the very first slide, and it's like, this is what National Geographic shows when they're showing the lion chasing the gazelle.
My gosh. Well, let's just go ahead and jump straight into some discussions here. Do you want to start talking about the Packers games as we're talking about the Packers?
Yeah, why not?
So again, this was Micah Parsons' first game as a Packer, and we both watched this game, and we both were very excited.
He got one of two standing ovations that happened at Lambeau Field this week. Of course, the second one was at halftime. They honored the Super Bowl winning team of 2010, 15 years ago. And Mike McCarthy, the head coach of that team, former Dallas Cowboys head coach, who got fired over the offseason, he ran out of the tunnel with everybody, and he got a standing ovation. And just shows the class of the Packers fans.
Mm-hmm.
And how much, even though he was a hated rival when he's on the Cowboys, and we hated him for that horrible season that he had his last season with us, we were still able to put that all behind, standing ovation. And I just want to thank you, Mike McCarthy, the coach, the second coach after I became a fan because of my age. But I just want to thank you for great years watching the Packers, for that Super Bowl ring. And, there's not much more I can say about that. Thank you. And Micah Parsons, thank you for what you did this weekend. It was amazing. I love you for it. I don't care.
It was great. It was great to see Micah Parsons in the green.
And gold.
And gold. And he had a great game, even though he was on, like, limited plays.
Yeah, yeah.
Honestly, considering what he did, especially being on limited plays, now that I think about it, it was really impressive.
He was on limited plays, and the Packers only – I'm going to get into this a little later. But the Packers, when he was on the field, allowed -2 rushing yards.
Wow. -2.
-2.
That's pretty good.
If he can do that while injured, he's going to be a stud when healthy.
Yeah. That's pretty crazy to think about. Now, moving on, Jordan Love in this game. Let's talk about
it. Before we jump into Jordan Love, I just want to spotlight somebody who goes under the radar. He didn't go under the radar this offseason when he got a massive extension from the Packers. He is in there. He's doing the dirty work. He was even flighting Seahawks players when they took a cheap shot at Jordan Love in the preseason, and that is Zach Tom, our right tackle. He allowed zero pressures,
mm-hmm.
which is impressive to begin with, but when you realize he was lighting up the early favorite for comeback player of the year and defensive player of the year in Aiden Hutchinson, it's so impressive because Aiden Hutchinson's a beast, and unbiasedly, obviously I can't be biased towards that because he's a Lions player, but he is one of the greatest defenders or edge rushers in the league. And yes, he's coming off injury, but everyone is expecting him to be good. I mean, he was so dominant in Lions practice. After he blew up a play, Dan Campbell, their head coach, let him continue playing on because they weren't going to be able to get a single playoff if they didn't.
Yeah.
That's how dominant he is, but Zach Tom showing why he was worth more than what we gave him. Congratulations to you. You are second on my player of the game. Third, I gave to Jordan Love. He was really good. Just, you know, the two touchdown passes, 188 yards, which is not bad, but the player of the game, players of the game for this in this instance, I just felt like deserved it, especially going against this high powered, high octane Lions offense.
Definitely.
You want to jump into that?
Yeah. The defensive line. So, all of the D-line had a great game. The defense, the Packers' defense was really strong in this game.
I don't know if you just saw that, but Evan Williams, that was his pick right there.
Yeah. So I was going to say, they had four sacks.
One from Micah Parsons, one from Rashawn Gary, which was almost a safety, one from Devontae Wyatt, and one from Lucas Van Ness. That's just the Micah Parsons effect.
Yeah, and then they did have an interception.
Which we just saw, yeah.
And then they also, the defense also had a turnover on downs on the lines as well, that where they went for it on fourth and short, and they didn't get it.
Which was caused from, I want to say, Lucas Van Ness's sack. What a great, great game all around. Nine tackle for losses.
Yeah, that is really good. Like, all the defense just had a really strong game.
Oh, yeah.
The whole way around.
And that Evan Williams pick, I'm going to go 50-50 on that. It was halfway Evan Williams because he grabbed the ball from air, and then it was slipping out from under his arm, and he hoisted his leg up there to, like, support the ball so it didn't hit the ground. But the reason it was thrown so fast for Evan Williams to get that was Micah Parsons was in the face of Jared Goff. You can't, like, it can't get much better for that if you're a Packers fan.
Yeah.
Which I am, so go Pack Go, baby.
Go Pack Go. But moving on to probably game of the week. I think it's going to be hard for this game, like, for this game to be topped. But
I agree.
Bills and Ravens.
Scorigami.
What a game.
For those of you that don't know what scorigami is, it's where there is a score that, and a final score that has never been a final score in the history of the NFL. And of course, this week it was Bills Ravens, which the Bills came back and won when they were down 40-25.
Yeah.
They came back and won 41-40. That's never been a final score in NFL history.
Just in the fourth quarter, too.
Yeah, just
keep that in mind. So the Bills had a huge comeback win. Josh Allen had an insane game. Like, I saw just his fourth quarter stats, and it could be like a full game stats for another quarterback.
So,
but like early MVP, honestly.
Could he go back to back? He was my pick for the MVP.
He really could be. Honestly, it wouldn't surprise me if he did and he went back to back, especially after playing like this game. He had almost 400 passing yards, two passing touchdowns, and two rushing touchdowns.
Now you see why I hid the stats for me when I was writing down the script.
Yeah. It's so insane because not only did he like have two touchdowns that he passed to, but he also had two rushing touchdowns. He's a very
He's
an interesting quarterback.
He only had 30 rushing yards. I think he only had six attempts, too. So,
yeah. He didn't rush a lot, but he got enough to get the two rushing touchdowns.
Touchdown, Josh Jacobs. Sorry. Yeah. 30, like, so that means one-third of his rushing attempts made it to the end zone.
That's crazy.
And then 30 yards for, he's such a good quarterback.
He really is. And then the fact that he led the team to just in the fourth quarter to come back and win when they were down, like, what, 15 points?
And make, there's the Devontae Wyatt sack right there.
So, like, they were down, like, two scores.
Mm-hmm. They were down two scores.
Yeah.
And
then he got them in field goal position to win the game.
Yep.
Because they missed the two-pointer.
Mm-hmm. Set up by former Tennessee Vol, Josh Palmer.
Yeah.
I didn't even mean to do that, like say it like that. Oh, here's the Micah Parsons sack.
Okay, let's watch this. This is beautiful.
Watch him break double coverage. And just like a bat out of hell just chases down Jared Goff for the sack. First sack as a Packer.
Brady. Oh.
And
That's an ad.
I've watched this so many times today to tell you exactly what play that was going to be. Because that was just kind of crazy. I'm not going to lie. I impress myself sometimes, clearly. But our final NFL game of the week was the Chargers-Chiefs, the very first NFL game on YouTube. It was also something else, right?
It was also an international game, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it was also the Chargers' first win since September 2021. That's 4 years without a win on this Chiefs game. Chiefs team. Granted,
Chiefs have been good.
A lot of those have been that devil magic, as people called,
Chiefs had a lot of close wins last year that they probably shouldn't have had.
Oh yeah, like there was a they beat the Chargers 13-12 last year.
Yeah, definitely a lot of close games, and there's definitely some questionable calls by the referees sometimes.
Yeah,
but it is hard to see everything in a game, and you can't go and review everything in a game either.
That is true. You can't even review flags.
Yeah,
can't challenge flags. So I mean, hey, well, you can have challenge flags, but you can't challenge the flag.
Right,
slapper there. Anyway, Quentin Johnston just had a great game. I feel like every single time I saw him on the field, he was catching the ball, which he's never done before. He's always dropped the passes, and here in year three under Jim Harbaugh,
good coach.
He is a good coach, but I expected him to run the ball.
Mm-hmm.
I really did, but he let Justin Herbert just be Justin Herbert, and he had a great game.
He did 318 passing yards for 3 touchdowns, which, again, great game for a quarterback.
Great game. That's all we got to say. My bench quarterback this week for fantasy.
Good job. You would have won if you started him.
I would have won if he started it.
Yep, but you benched him.
For Joe Burrow in week 1. What was I doing?
For Joe Burrow.
Okay.
Now let's switch topics a little bit of college football.
Is it really switching topics?
Really switching topics.
Is it really?
Is it though? Because like it's still football. Now the big thing that we want to talk about was South Florida.
Yes.
This team is starting to look a little scary because not only have they upset who they upset week 1.
Boise State, who is
Boise
ranked,
State. Yeah.
Obviously Ashton Jeanty. It just kind of proved that Ashton Jeanty was their offense last year.
Yeah, that was their
in that game.
Mm-hmm. And now they've upset, probably a better ranked opponent in Florida.
I agree.
SEC, they've been ranked fairly high, and they upset them to win in the Swamp.
Remember when I called DJ Lagway overrated?
Did you do that last week?
I did.
Yeah.
It's right here, guys. It's right here. He can't even beat South Florida.
Now, South Florida.
Even Callan DeBoer's Alabama team could beat South Florida, and they were in a very close game with them last year.
Yeah. Now, is South Florida, are they ranked now?
They are ranked.
Do we need to look it up, get a little fact check?
I want to say 18th, but I'm not sure about that. I could be wrong, but I know it's in the teens.
Yeah, but I remember talking to our friend who is an Indiana fan, and they were very mad that South Florida was ranked above them. But honestly,
I was right. South Florida is ranked 18th.
As they should be. They should be ranked. Absolutely.
They should, yeah.
They've had two ranked wins.
All I'm going to say, though, is they were ranked after beating 2 ranked teams.
Mm-hmm.
And we have an Alabama team that lost to an unranked team. That unranked team immediately jumps up to the top 15. And Alabama's still ranked.
I don't understand how Alabama is still ranked.
And actually, they moved up from last week.
See, that doesn't make any sense. They haven't done anything. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. You beat University of Louisiana Monroe.
Congratulations.
Now beat Wisconsin this week.
Ooh, let's talk about that a second. Do you think they actually beat Wisconsin?
Probably. Big Ten football is not that good. Outside of, like, Ohio State, Oregon, Michigan at times.
Michigan steps up for Ohio State, but I feel like Michigan plays.
And apparently they play good against, who did they play week 1? They played a really, Alabama. No, it was Alabama last postseason in the bowl game.
I feel like half the Big Ten is good.
Yeah.
Because like you said, you got Purdue, or not Purdue, you have Oregon, you have Ohio State. Who else is in there now?
Another Ed, sorry. Oregon, Ohio State, Michigan. They're pretty good. Penn State, they're always right there. They're always right on the cusp and just can't beat Ohio State.
Yeah.
But
Indiana, Illinois.
Yeah.
Top 10.
They are, but yeah, Illinois is top 10.
I don't imagine we'll stay in top 10, but we made the top 10, so W season.
Tennessee's 15th after playing a lot of arguably harder games than a lot of the people above them.
Yeah.
I mean, they're below Clemson. who lost week. We're going to get more into that later, so I'm not going to spoil anything. But speaking of Michigan, because we didn't mention them, I think, three times the past, like, 2 minutes. What happened? Quote James Draws. Oklahoma technically upset them because they were lower ranked, even though I thought they were a better team. John Mattier, the dual threat quarterback out of Wazoo, transfer from Wazoo to Oklahoma, has a great game.
Yeah.
Really good game. He threw one interception, but I saw that, and the interception he threw, the tight end just jumped a little too early. Oh, no, a little too late, and the ball kind of, like, sailed. Like, his hand was already coming down when the ball just went right above his hand. Easy pick for the safety. Mm-hmm. So, yes, that's on the quarterback because he should have put it down more for the tight end to catch. But at the same time, the tight end could have grabbed it, but didn't. So he had the interception. But nonetheless, 270 passing yards and 2 rushing touchdowns.
Yep.
Early Heisman?
It's pretty early to say Heisman, but that's still a good stat line. There's a lot of different things that go into Heisman, you know?
Especially against a ranked team.
True.
The only ranked matchup this week
was Michigan-Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Interesting.
Speaking of ranked matchups,
ooh,
let's talk about somebody who lost their week one ranked matchup. The Clemson Tigers, who lost to the Bayou Bengals week one, and then struggled with a capital S. It took them a touchdown, and then they finally got pressure on the Troy quarterback to throw a pick in their side of the field for them to go up. They were down by 2 scores in the start of the third. And you're a ranked team at home, and that's happening to you. You only win by 2 scores. They're struggling.
I mean, yeah. You can't let that happen, not at home.
No.
Not when you're ranked to a team like that. Yeah.
2 weeks in a row, you struggle at home.
Yeah. That's pretty concerning, and who knows where we'll be at week 3. You know, and if this is how they're playing at home, imagine how they're going to play away.
I firmly believe if Troy was at home, they would have won.
They would have won that. Absolutely. But, you know, there's a lot of teams that are coming in to places.
And next week, they're at Georgia Tech.
At Georgia Tech? I feel like they're going to get upset at that game. Because Georgia Tech, I feel like people are sleeping on a little bit.
Georgia Tech's a good team.
They are.
Haynes King is a good quarterback. And if you are sleeping on Haynes King, you are not getting out of the bed in the morning. Because he's a good quarterback. It's a good analogy.
What? You could do better.
I could have, but it's not bad.
Just because it's a... Oh, there's another ad.
Okay.
Okay, so let's talk about Kansas State.
Last week, I dubbed them this year's Florida State. And I said it could be a little too early. Because at last week, they lost to Iowa State, ranked team, but they lost by a score.
Yeah, so not, like, super concerning yet. We were like, okay, let's wait and see how they do.
And they struggled against North Dakota at home. They only won by a score. And I was like, okay, I get it. You know, jet lag from Ireland. Well, that's not an excuse for losing to Army, who lost to an FCS school week one.
Yeah, you can't lose to Army.
At home.
At home.
At home.
Yeah. I mean, don't get me wrong. I think Army's looking like a good team, but...
Well, they lost week one to Tarleton State, I think.
Hmm. Get a little fact check.
I just don't know how to pronounce it. Tarleton State in overtime.
Yeah. So if you're Kansas State, that's not a good...
You got to do some soul searching.
Yeah, that's not a good look.
I do some soul searching after that.
You really do. If I was the coach, I'd be trying to get in gear.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, like, for real.
I would be mad. Like, okay, guys, what are we doing out there?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Like, it's that bad. And Kansas State really needs to get it together. Otherwise, they're going to have a top... They're going to be 25 of the top 25 all season, or get bumped out of there pretty quick if they haven't been already.
They are. They're out.
Okay.
They're not even there.
They're going to be, like, right on that line. They're not going to have a great season. They'll be lucky if they get a bowl game. The way it's looking.
I think they have a pretty solid schedule. I thought they had an easy schedule, but apparently not for them.
Who are they playing? Well, they probably should have won against Army.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
You got to love, like, the upsets.
Arizona at Arizona. And then UCF, Baylor. They don't have another ranked team until Texas Tech November 1st.
Dang.
And then their next one's November 22nd, and that's it for the season. They finish at Colorado. If you can't beat Colorado, there's something wrong with your team.
Without Shedeur Sanders?
Even with Shedeur Sanders?
We got to hit our Shedeur Sanders weekly.
Perfect timing.
We got to hit that every week.
For real.
Yeah.
It's honestly kind of a short video. It's only been 21 minutes so far.
Hey, that's okay.
That's crazy.
Crazy.
We might be letting y'all go a little early. But before we get there, I just want to apologize for you guys who don't like football that much. That's the only thing really going on right now.
Yeah.
And for you of those guys that's saying, you know, soccer, cool. Cool. Is that too mean?
No. Soccer is a good sport. It's just not our sport. We don't watch it, so we're not going to be informed enough to talk about it.
If I wanted to go to sleep, I'd take melatonin and not watch soccer.
There's also that.
There's my weekly soccer diss.
Speaking of soccer, let's talk about UE soccer. Goodness, what a transition. So the UE men's soccer team has continued to struggle. I don't know if they've won a game yet. Have they won a game?
No.
Yeah. So they have not won a game yet. They've had several ties, a few losses.
They had quality ties, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Quality ties. And they had a quality loss in North Carolina. You know?
Yeah. So the ties are, it's better than a loss, but it's not a win.
Yeah. They are now 0-3-2. Last week they were 0-3-1. But who did they lose to? Lindenwood, who just came up to D1 2 years ago.
Fairly recent.
And joined the OVC. Granted, they were 3-0 coming in. They had, you know, they were on a hot streak. They had the reigning OVC player of the week. But still, if you're in the MVC and you're not, and MVC soccer is good.
Mm-hmm.
I will stand by that. We have good soccer here, like entertaining soccer, and that's me saying that. Okay, I just lied through my teeth. I'm sorry. Soccer is just not entertaining, to me.
But
to
the
me.
Games that we have seen have been fairly entertaining.
Yes. The game against Lindenwood, I actually did. There was 25 fouls between the two teams.
That is nuts.
And only 9 of them were from Lindenwood. Six of them.
Yikes.
We had 19, for those that can't do math as well as me. Well, as, you know, other people.
But the women's soccer team, though.
Women's soccer team.
They're doing pretty well.
They're doing really good. Like, they're playing very well.
Mm-hmm. And see, last year was almost the opposite thing.
It was. I mean, our soccer team last year, the men's team,
was really strong.
They ended the season, I believe they were top 25. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. They won the MVC and they went to the tournament.
Yeah. So. And our women's soccer team, they're winning.
They are.
Their only loss is Lindenwood, actually. So it's kind of funny.
The women's team?
Yeah.
Wow.
They are 4-1 right now with very good wins against SEMO, SIUE, shutout against SIUE. And then they went to Austin Peay last Thursday, and then they won at Austin Peay. And then the game I didn't mention, I skipped over because, you know, you got to save your best win for the last. Purdue, a Big Ten team. So, in terms of this year, it looks like our women team just did a complete – it looks like both teams just did a complete 180. And I really hate saying that about our men's soccer team. A lot of my really good friends are on that team, and they're good people. They're good soccer players.
They just have a tough schedule so far.
Yeah, a tough schedule so far.
And it's not like they have any bad losses. It's just
one.
The ties are better than a loss.
Agreed.
But not as good as a win.
Agreed. And this is probably the hardest part of the schedule. I mean, you went to a ranked school and lost to them.
Yeah.
That was expected. And I believe that once they start meshing well as a team, because they had a few transfers out, I believe that they'll start winning more games.
It's all about the chemistry.
Mm-hmm. I know one of my friends who's on the soccer team, he's a sophomore this year, and he's mad because they just don't work together as a team, and they just don't, you know, play good.
Mm-hmm.
Clearly.
But moving on, UE Volleyball.
What a season so far.
Yeah, they're playing good. Talk about that Michigan State game so far.
So if y'all remember.
Yeah, sorry. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
So if y'all remember last week, we said that we were about to go to that game.
Yeah.
Right after we were done recording.
We did.
We did. And then we also said that they haven't lost a set all year so far. Don't know if y'all recall that. Well, they did. They lost their first set last week against us.
Against UE.
UE.
And it was.
Are we back?
I think we're on the comeback.
I think we might be on the comeback.
UE Volleyball is back.
They ended up going away this weekend and picking up two solid wins.
Yeah.
At Florida A&M and then Queens University, which I think that's Queens, New York.
Might be.
Might be wrong. I don't know colleges. If they have a football team, I don't know where they're from.
Hey, where's UE at?
Evansville, Nebraska.
Oh, that makes sense.
Could be.
We don't have a football team.
Could be Queens University of Charlotte. Yeah, because Queens University is on Ontario, Canada. And I really doubt that they played there.
Yeah, I feel like I doubt that, but.
Who knows?
Possible.
Who knows? But.
But regardless, they did win two games. They did lose Michigan State, which was expected, I feel like.
Yeah.
But honestly, the way they played, they had two very strong sets, and they won one of the sets.
Yeah.
Actually, they had two or three really good sets.
And then that last Saturday, they also lost to Georgia State.
Gotcha.
Which was also 100% expected. Yeah. Georgia State's not bad. Their losses, Middle Tennessee State in the fifth set.
But I think once we start playing MVC schools,
I think we are the team to beat.
I kind of think so. Honestly, this new coach, I think he's the GOAT. Is he the GOAT?
He might be the GOAT. He might be the GOAT. There's a little edit somebody made last week.
Gee, I wonder who made that.
I do too. I really do.
Crazy.
I would like to high-five him and be like, that's a really good edit.
Hey, that was a really good edit.
Well, thank you. But yeah, he turned this 180 this team. It feels different. Being at Meeks last week just feels different.
It did. There were so many people there. It was like standing room only.
I get it. It was Michigan State, but just like the bench looked different. Like they looked like they were actually cheering on their teammates.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
The fans
were way into it. Like, we were into it.
We were getting into it.
Yeah, it was infectious in Meeks, and I've never seen Meeks that full and that loud.
Yeah, and somebody behind the broadcast, like, when they were recording it, and they, like, UE challenged something, somebody pulled up the Michigan logo on their phone and was showing it on the broadcast. It was so funny to see. Oh, that's on ESPN+.
Hang on. Let's see if we can find that.
And as I said, one person was just like randomly just would throw up the Michigan logo when they were challenging it, saying like, this is the only team that can actually win a challenge. We're going to see. Like, I just want to show y'all that because this was kind of funny.
So you can see that.
If you can see.
So let's get a replay on that. Let's get a replay.
So we're going to follow the ref, and you see right there.
Look at that.
Right there with the Michigan logo on his phone.
Can you guys see that? Yeah, you guys can see that.
I don't know what's funnier, me or Marwan.
Okay. There we go.
I think we
and
need
to. And then? And then look at that. Isn't that exciting? All right.
That's how you know you want a show.
Now, right there. That is going to be it for the podcast today. Ready?
And for those of you that only listen on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast, I personally Spotify, take a venture over to YouTube, Full Court Press Podcast Official on YouTube for some behind the scenes action and some
shenanigans
and some stuff that, you know, you can't see because you're listening, such as what we just did. So if you missed out on that, sorry, but you know, YouTube's free.
That's right.
Might have to listen to some commercials, but YouTube is still free.
That's right.
And we will catch y'all next week.